Loving and gracious God, we do thank you. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin to death on a cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence among us. Thank you for the young people, Lord, who stood boldly and read the scriptures and reminded us of the story of Jesus' birth. We thank you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into this world to save us. And we know that you're among us now by your Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. God, I ask you this morning by your Spirit to speak and to be, your presence be with the people of Kentucky, Lord, and Arkansas, and wherever it's needed, Lord. Be with them this day, God, as you will be with us, because you can be everywhere at all times. As we remember to celebrate, we want to pray for our fellow citizens, that this morning they may not have a church to go to, a physical church, but Lord God, through Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit, you live in their hearts. So speak to us now. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
I was thinking and wondering about those pastors and church folks this morning who thought they would be in church today. So let us be reminded that we are truly blessed because our church is still standing and that we are here. That they thought they were planning for Christmas, and here it is. Something different has happened. But we must trust in the Lord at all times. And as I think of the folks in Kentucky, I read this story about, and it was titled, South African Church, I'll tell you Susan when, South African Church offers praise in the midst of tragedy. In his talk entitled, The Sense of an Ending, Jeremiah Begbie tells a story about attending a worship service in a poor South African township. I was told immediately before the service that a house around the corner had been burnt to the ground because the man who lived there was a suspected thief. A week before that, a tornado had cut through the township, ripping apart 50 homes, and 5 people had been killed. And then I was told that the very night before, a gang hounded down a 14-year-old, a member of the church's Sunday school, and stabbed him to death. The pastor began his prayer. He said, Lord, you are the creator and the sovereign, but why did the wind come like a snake and tear our roofs off? Why did a mob cut short the life of one of our own children when he had everything to live for? And over again, Lord, we are in the midst of death. As he spoke, the congregation responded with a dreadful sighing and groaning. And then, once he finished his prayer, very slowly, the whole congregation began to sing, at first very quietly, then louder. They sang song after song of praise. Praise to a God who in Jesus had plunged into the very worst to give us a promise of an ending beyond all imagination. And the singing gave the congregation a foretaste of the end. The writer says, Christian hope isn't about looking around at the state of things now and trying to imagine what is going on. Christian hope is more than that. It is about trying to calculate the future from the present, trying to figure it out, and trusting in the Lord through all of that. And so today, friends, we have heard the Philippian text read, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God. How we pray for the peace of God for those folks this morning. First slide, Susan. I think I have two pictures, and then the words. As you see, the Isaiah text says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So now we hear the key points. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. That's what joy normally is. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, of our lives. Next slide. Next point. Joy is the quiet confidence that everything is going to be okay. You cannot explain it. You cannot tell it to anyone, but you know that it's going to be okay. Joy is determined, is a determined choice to praise God in all things. Very difficult to do, to be determined to praise God in all things, knowing that God is with you. And I had a subtitle for this section, which I did not write, but what is the difference between joy and happiness? Joy is in the heart, and happiness is on the face. Happiness is something you smile, you're happy, it's like getting a happy meal. But joy is in the heart. You know the happy meal the kids used to get. Joy is in the soul. Happiness is of the moment. Happiness is only for a moment. You get something, you love it, you get excited, it's over, and then it's done. Joy transcends. Happiness reacts. Happiness reacts to what it gets, but joy transcends. That's why Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." No matter what I'm going through, I don't get it, but I'm trusting in the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy embraces peace and contentment, waiting to be discovered, waiting at that moment. Deep joy. Joy runs deep and overflows, while happiness hugs hello. Happiness is just a hello, but joy runs deep and it's overflow. You know that song that says, "I've got joy, joy, joy deep in my soul. I've got the joy of Jesus deep in my soul." Joy is a practice and a behavior. It's deliberate and intentional. Happiness comes and goes blithely along its way. It just comes and goes. Today I'm happy, tomorrow I'm not happy. But joy stays. Joy is profound and scriptural. Don't worry, the writer of Paul said to the church, the Philippi church. Don't worry, rejoice. Happiness is just a balm. He says, don't worry, be happy. It's just a feel good. Joy is an inner feeling. Happiness is an outward expression. Joy is that deep inner feeling. And joy endures hardship and trials and connects with meaning and purpose. A person pursues happiness, but chooses joy. Joy. Today, in the midst of all those folks are going through, they themselves will have to choose joy. And we have heard the gospel read, and we heard all that John the Baptist was telling the people. And he was telling them all they have to do to be to change and to accept Jesus Christ and to get baptized and not to rob each other, not to the taxpayers shouldn't steal and rob. He should not do that. And he said, one is coming after me that is going to be greater than I. And that text can be hard at the beginning. It tells you what you ought not to do. And then at the very end, it says, as the people were there and they were asking, what should I do? Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. And he says, teacher, what should I do? And he says, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And the soldiers asked. They wanted to feel that joy, something different in their heart. The soldiers asked, and we, what should we do? And he said, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. They wanted to feel something different. And as we get to the end, it says, as the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. That's when John says, I am not the Messiah. One is coming. And we know that one who's coming has come for us. And we'll celebrate his birth again. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, Savior of all the world. We do not, friends who are Christian believers, we do not debate. We do not want to hear the naysayers. And if they speak, let them speak. We believe that Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, came into the world for us. So John says, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming is more powerful than I. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not worthy to stand here and talk about Jesus in front of you. But Jesus so chose it to be. And so at the end he says, so with many other exhortation, he proclaimed the good news to the people. That's what John did. After he gave them the hard message, he proclaimed the good news. And what was the good news? That the Messiah would come. That was the good news, that the Messiah would come. And so, friends, as we look at joy, as I'm going to try to bring this home now, because we do have the confirmation and so on, there's a song that if I thought about it, I would have played it today. I would have had Nancy to play it. Joyful, joyful. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above. And then the writer says, melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All your works with joy surround us. Earth and heaven reflect your ways. Stars and angels sing around you. Center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, praising you eternally. All of creation praises God. And then verse 3, it says, always giving and forgiving. Our God is always giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest, loving Father, Christ our brother, let your light upon us shine. Teach us how to love each other. Let us lift us to the joy divine, the joy of God. And now at the end it says, mortals join the mighty chorus, which the morning stars began. God's who love is reigning o'er us, joining people hand in hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. And so joyfully we adore the Lord. And we are reminded on this Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, that it was joy. Joy that made Jesus came into the world. It was first the hope and expectation of the people who had been waiting for the Messiah. The one who would bring peace. Peace, because he's called the peacemaker, Jesus. And then when he came, he would bring joy. Joy, they did not get it then, but we have gotten it now. And all of this would come because of the love of God for us. Because God would love us so much that he would give his only son. So this morning, friends, I hope your hearts are filled with joy. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance, I hope, as he says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will rest and abide with us today. Let us be joyful. No matter what, let us be joyful. Because we are saved. Amen and amen.